Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
There you go. You just missed my...
Yeah, please,
hold on.
You can start. Let's try that. Oh, my God. This is so scary.
This is the Halloween edition of Wake Up Hollywood.
Oh, it is? Yeah. I hate Halloween so much. Why am I here on Halloween?
Why do you hate Halloween?
Because I don't like scary things. I don't like that music. I know that's from a scary... I'm leaving. You want me to sleep tonight or not?
Okay.
I don't like scary things. I don't watch... Like, I know that was from a scary movie, that music, but I don't know which one.
Okay.
I just... You know what actually scared me from... Let me tell you what scared me from a very early age, and you'll appreciate this because I know you're a fan. Michael Jackson's Thriller video.
Oh, yeah.
I had to leave the room. And I loved Michael Jackson. I love that album. I listened to it all the time. It was like my first cassette tape. My aunt bought it for me for my birthday.
That was a scary video.
It was super scary. And, you know, my younger brothers, who were younger, obviously, they would laugh at me because didn't care. They were, like, loving Thriller. And I had to leave the room. I couldn't watch Thriller. And... From then
so
on, anything scary.
Is your younger brothers realize their older brother is a sissy.
Yes, yeah.
At a very young age.
That's correct, yeah. They've known all their lives, and now they still know it. But but it continued on, this fear of especially Michael Jackson, because I liked Michael Jackson, so I had posters over my bed. So I had a poster over my bed. This story is ridiculous.
Let's hear it.
I had a poster over my bed of Michael Jackson from the Thriller video. But it wasn't him as a werewolf. It was just him in the red coat, like before he turned into a zombie.
Right.
Right? And at one night, that poster fell down behind my bed.
Oh.
Right? Scared me. So I just kind of crept down my bed, and I didn't want to sleep near the top because I was afraid like a hand was going to come out,
right,
which is
of course.
Stupid. But for the next year and a half, I slept halfway down my bed. Because I thought that, like, I am not even exaggerating. It was a year and a half. I slept halfway down my bed because I thought Thriller Hand was going to
come
out
and get you.
Yeah. And then one day I got up the gumption to I thought that was going to happen. I got up the gumption to, like, actually look under my bed to see if the poster was even still there. And it wasn't. Like, my mom probably threw it away, like, a year before that.
But in your mind, you're
in
like,
in my mind, it's for coming. A year and a half, Thriller was coming out from under the bed because a poster fell down behind it. Like,
and you have now you're a man though. Like what happens when
your
boy's like,
not a man.
"Daddy, I'm scared." You're gonna be like, "Me too."
Yeah, no, that's exactly what's gonna happen. And then my wife will cuddle us both and be like, "You guys are total wusses."
I like that,
but it doesn't matter. I don't go to scary movies. I don't watch scary things. I don't care about Halloween. Halloween is just a speed bump to Thanksgiving. I cannot wait for this weekend to be over because then it's Thanksgiving time.
Hey, that's good. That's good. We like that. Like Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's the best.
I think Halloween to Christmas is like the best time.
Yes, starting right after Halloween.
It's like you got sports, you got food, you got candy, Christmas gifts.
And in fact, I'm doing I'm a vegan chef for everybody listening, and I am doing a Thanksgiving cooking demonstration at this place in Venice called The Vegan Scene.
Oh, when are you doing that?
That is November 14th. And you can go to theveganscene.com. Everybody's very excited. You can go to theveganscene.com to get tickets for their cooking classes. Tickets are almost sold out, but I'm doing some awesome dishes. Even if you're not vegan, it's side dishes, mashed potatoes, like perfect potatoes, this great warm roasted vegetable salad, this white bean cassoulet. So, yeah, everybody's getting hungry right now.
Yeah, you get me all excited.
So you know, theveganscene.com. I'm doing
like sample platter for your, you know, friendly radio co-host?
No, sample platter. I'm sorry. Next time.
But anyway. How was your week? Besides being scared.
It was good. Besides like waiting to get past Halloween, it was good. Actually, today I had this very long day. I'm hosting this new show. It's a vegan news show. So picture like...
Wait. What's like, happening in broccoli?
Yeah, pretty much. So picture like... You know, but it's kind of going to be kind of funny or whatever. You know, picture like The Daily Show.
Right.
But with a host that's like a little fatter, not as smart, not as funny, but talking about the vegan news of the day.
Give me like a headline. What's breaking news?
Oh, sure.
I
just shot this pilot today. It was the first show. And so today's first story was that these researchers – who researched cancer said that I'm really selling the show right now.
Well, that's all right.
I was reading off a teleprompter.
Are you going to bring up bacon? Are you going to talk about bacon?
Yes. Processed meats cause cancer. As you increase the consumption of processed meats like sausage, bacon, cured meats, things like that, your risk of cancer goes up. And this was a study that they did. It was over 800 different studies. These 22 scientists from around the globe did this.
Where are they?
They're in France. So that better be some good bullets.
You know what, though? I know, but there's a lot of people that don't eat pork at all that I know have cancer. You know what I mean?
You can have cancer other ways.
Yeah.
But they did a specific study on processed meats, like hot dogs, sausage.
Right.
And it's, you know, the evidence is just there. And so that was like a big, big news of this, like that literally just happened yesterday.
I think everything has the chance to kill us equally.
Broccoli.
If it doesn't happen via cancer, it can happen via earthquake or
huge hurricane.
Well, sure. But I know what you mean. I get you.
Look, I'm just saying that you asked me what
kills.
The news
no,
of the
no,
day.
No, 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 no.
That's
I like
the
that.
News.
Like
that was a big news.
So was that like that? Must have been like huge news.
It
was all over Facebook today. And I'm like,
yeah.
That must have been like.
It was very bad.
That's the kind of stuff that vegan news journalists just cream over.
There was so much creaming on Facebook.
My Facebook was all cream today.
You see
the irony just in that line? I'm terrible.
Well, we have cashew cream. We have coconut cream. So
I'm just kidding.
I've never heard that sound effect before.
Well, I'm trying to like, you know, spread the love a little bit. You know, I want to paint. I want to sculpt what you're saying.
You're doing a very excellent job. So what have you been up to?
Well, tell me. When was the first episode?
Oh, anyway, so it will be it's going to be on YouTube. We're starting this new YouTube channel. I'm not starting it. I'm just the guy that they hired to be the host. But it's going to go live in a couple weeks. We just shot the first episode today. So it's like a quick, like 4 to 5 minute little news show. It's got funny, dumb puns.
That's awesome.
And all this kind of stuff. I play a little air guitar. I do a little Pete Townsend windmill.
Dude,
for one of the
things. You got to post that link.
Yeah, I will. Don't worry. You will not be able to escape.
See, this is what we love. We love you to plug yourself.
So
that'll be
on youtube.com/ like the
tell me about this YouTube side of it. Interesting.
That'll be a whole other show. It'll be a whole introduction to YouTube. But slash Vegan Food Share is the account. So that's who's producing this channel. And there's going to be other awesome shows too, like a Chopped type show, but all vegan. So it'll
nice.
Be cooking competition stuff like that.
Oh, our studio audience loves that.
Yeah.
Simmer down.
I am the host of the news show, and then there's going to be other hosts of other shows and stuff like that.
That's terrific.
So
what's the name of it?
It'll be called Your Vegan News.
Oh, yeah. So they didn't spend that much time on the title.
No, we spent a lot of time. We had a bunch of different titles. That was my title.
Wait, what were the other titles?
They were okay. There was like The Vegan Rap, which was okay.
Ooh, I like that. That was pretty good.
That was on top. Then there was
probably like, nobody's ever going to take us seriously with a name like that.
Well, it was kind of like that. I did like that name a lot. Then there was like The Vegan View, but I'm like, we're not four people sitting around a table
That's true.
Giving our opinions. Yeah. We're just telling the news. So I said, well, how about Your Vegan News? And they were like, hey, that's a good idea.
Like, that's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's called Your Vegan News. It'll be in a few weeks. We just literally shot it today. I've been, like, kind of exhausted.
Well, I'm excited
see
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody go check it out.
Send us all the Twitter. And
I'll send you all the Twitter.
You know all the social media hoopla that we do.
I hoopla it up. So what have you been doing? Do you have a costume for Halloween?
I do. I found Otis an amazing pirate costume, and I actually happen to have a pirate costume. So I'm like,
oh,
dude, we are doing this. He doesn't even know, but he knows we're doing this. He's tried it out.
Oh, he doesn't
times.
Know yet.
He doesn't. He knows the costume exists, and the guy loves it. But it's crazy because, like,
is there a patch?
There's no patch, but there's a hat and a scarf, and he's got his arms. Are like fake arms, but they both have hooks, and it looks like he's walking upright.
Oh, I see.
It is amazing.
Now, have you tried to put this on him yet?
Oh yeah. I tried an Ewok costume. Like, it didn't work. It just didn't look that cute. But this one, honestly, it's incredible. It is incredible, and I've been taking videos. Just like I mean, I almost peed myself laughing just from watching him walk around.
That's
it. So. I'm going to be a pirate.
I like it.
I went to Universal Horror Nights.
Oh, another thing that I would never go to, but go ahead.
You will definitely not like
I'm
that.
I'm not lying.
Like, honestly, I don't get scared easily, and I got scared a couple times. It was like my heart was pounding out of my chest. So that was
fun. Why? What is
because,
the thing
like,
that
okay,
occurs?
Like, they put you on a tram ride.
It's at Universal,
yeah,
right?
Universal Studios.
Okay, so you're
so
on
I
a
went
tram.
To, I went to Knott's Scary Farm 2 weeks ago.
Okay, another place
Last
I would
week,
never ever
yeah,
go.
Yeah, and Knott's Scary Farm was super crowded, but like people are like, you know, they're on there like – they have, like, knee pads, like, scraping by with, like, sparks and chainsaws.
Whoa.
And, like, the whole bit. I mean, they're really scaring the shit out of you.
Uh-huh.
But at Universal, they'll take you on the tram, and then you're, like, they stop you in the middle of the ride. And you're walking through the sets, and people are jumping out. Like, like, you have Michael from Halloween chasing you.
Not sure who that is, but nope.
It was intense. I mean, my heart was like out of my chest a couple times.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I like Halloween a lot. I dig it. Okay. I dig all of it just because it's like it makes you feel alive when you're scared. You know what I mean? It's like
No, I don't know what you
actually,
mean.
Actually, no.
No.
No, it doesn't, Nikki.
Yeah. I have to avoid anything scary or I think it's going to happen to me. Like,
if I'm
alone in my house for some reason and it's dark outside, I'm scared shitless. I cannot. Like I literally look over my shoulder.
Well,
I think something's behind me when
I'll
I know
hold
that's
your hand,
so
Ryan.
Stupid.
I will be there.
Okay,
when
well,
you
I'm calling you next time I'm home alone. That's it.
Looks like
oh
our
God,
special guest has arrived.
Is it
Miss
a zombie?
Veronica Krausis.
Oh, not.
How are you?
Oh,
hey, she's got
that's
her Halloween
really scary.
Voice. See?
I feel so ganged up on here.
Now, before I preface, like, well, not before I preface, but before I introduce this lovely guest, Veronica is a very important person to me. Not only is she, like, a super brilliant musician, super brilliant composer, an amazing teacher, but she helped me, she literally helped me graduate from USC Music School.
Oh.
And I got to tell you a quick
she's
story.
Like,
this is how much I love
this
woman.
Dressed up like you and went and took your tests?
No. It was close. It was close. She knew that one of her colleagues had it out for me. I mean, he had it out for
what?
Me.
Why? Why?
Because I never went to class. I was like sleeping.
Okay.
I don't remember that.
You don't?
No, but.
You know who it is, right?
No, but let's not say any names.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Just
let's
say it after,
keep it all
say
in
a
secrets.
Name that rhymes with the name.
No, don't do that.
She'll incriminate herself.
Darn.
No, but you know what? Like, I had ear training with her, like, which was, to me, a really important class. Like,
okay.
you learn how to sight read. You train your ear on intervals. And I used to just make her laugh all the time in class. But she also, like, knew that I had my shit together when it came to the ear training stuff for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, she pulled me aside one day and she's like, you got to get your shit together in music theory. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, so-and-so has it out for you, and you better get your shit together.
Ah.
So she's like, I want you to come to my office hours. I'm going to just, like, grill you on music theory. And you know what? I would not have graduated college if it wasn't for this woman.
Wow.
And she took me, and, like, literally, she gave me the, like, golden ticket because she taught me all the things that I pretty much slept through or missed in music theory class. Because it was on a Monday and a Wednesday at 8
o'clock. Why would you help this slacker? Like, he was slacking off.
Yeah,
why didn't you just let
question.
Him crash and burn? Maybe it would have helped him in his life if you let him crash and burn.
Well, because I knew that at one point in his life, he would be on LA Talk Radio.
That's right! See?
Then,
our studio audience loves that answer.
All right, I guess I'll accept that answer. Yeah.
No, it was
great. I would
have
let him crash and burn.
And you know what? Like, Veronica, you always had, like, the rascals in your class. Like, you had a lot of rascals.
Yeah, there's something, there's that magnet there. That's but that's right. Okay. It makes it interesting.
It makes it more fun,
oh,
see?
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, she gave me the golden ticket. Like, I would still go to class and fall asleep, and the teacher would wake me up to grill me. But I had the answer because she would
out.
Be like, oh, yo, nice. you get your stuff together. So like, dude, Veronica, you get a high five. You get a high five of high fives.
Yay.
Because seriously. And I value this woman more than most people ever really get valued, period.
I'm so glad. But, you know, I used to fall asleep in class too.
Well, because they're early. Who?
No, like, not when I'm teaching.
What?
No, not when I'm teaching.
When you were a music
student.
Yeah.
This is before I was a music student. I did a business degree and I... there was a class at 11 and there was a class at 2.
Mm.
And it didn't matter what I did, how much coffee, how much I poked myself with my pen, how much that pressure point in your hand that you push and it hurts like crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It didn't matter what I did, I would just always fall asleep. And so I never get mad at people when they fall asleep. If they're texting or on their phones, the phones go in the garbage.
Yeah.
No, they go straight in the garbage.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You're hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
So she still kicks ass at USC.
Oh, okay.
Cracks
the whip. You're teaching at USC.
I am.
Wow.
Really great kids. I mean,
she's a badass.
All the students are wonderful. I'm doing a whole bunch of grad classes now, too, and they're all, you know.
But the crazy thing is, too, it's like I went to a lot of her performances when I was a student. She's a badass composer. Like, she's doing some... No, really. Like, you know, when you're a music student, you're, like, learning stuff that you... A, most of the stuff you're learning in music school, you're not really... excited about.
Wait, what
you're training.
Mean?
You're
on.
Training. I loved music theory. I did not love. I just didn't love it. I was just like, this is so boring. I'm gonna just shoot myself. But you know, like I went and saw her like performances and her and compositions live, and it was like, dude, she knows her shit. Like, it's crazy when you
like,
see
what
somebody...
kind of composing are we talking about for what?
Like, let's.
Well, since are you playing music thing right now? Do
well,
you
I can't. You
okay,
want to just jump in and play?
Why don't we do this?
Oh, okay.
Since it's Halloween.
Uh-oh. This is going to be scary.
Yeah.
Sucks. Why am I here today?
Just for you. So this is because we're going to be talking about opera and the newest opera in town, which is called Hopscotch. It's going to be the hottest ticket.
And it's on Halloween, isn't it?
And it opens on Halloween.
It opens on Halloween night.
Just to, this excerpt you're going to hear is my first opera from my first opera called "The Mortal Thoughts of Lady Macbeth," which is scary because they all die, they kill each other, they're greedy.
Oh, you ruined it on me. I haven't seen that movie yet.
Oh,
is that a movie?
I'm sure somewhere. It is, yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere.
Oh,
anyway,
spoiler alert! You gotta tell spoiler
alert. Here's the witch incantation and some spider dances.
I'm going to the bathroom.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go.
Amen.
Controlling the studio audience.
I got it. These buttons are very confusing over here.
What was so awesome about that? So for our listeners, Brian was actually doing the fade outs, and the music was making it that much more intense.
That music was
like the soundtrack of the moment.
I was
too.
Sweating. I was nervous. But
oh,
I got it.
Man,
I think I faded it out.
I was in that little moment. I was like, this is almost too perfect. So I'm like, where is the camera that's videotaping this right
now? I know.
Right
we
now?
Need that. We need that. There was so much going on internally.
Well, Veronica, I want to talk to you real quick about this composition for 2 seconds.
Okay.
I know you want to move on, but like, what was the inspiration behind it? Like, you're doing these crazy melodies and like all this crazy stuff.
The way it came about was I wanted to write an opera for my dissertation, actually. And then my neighbor at that time, I was living in Venice, we were hanging out one night drinking scotch, of all things, and I said, I want to write an opera.
Your drink of choice.
Sometimes. And so he said, well, hey, I'm reading Macbeth right now. Why don't we do something on Macbeth? And we were drinking scotch, which was, you know, Scottish. Ah. And Macbeth is, you know.
And you're like, oh my God, the stars are aligning.
It completely aligned. Yeah. It was absolutely, you know, Neptune and Pluto and I'm not going to say it.
But when you write
Uranus.
No. I was like, what, Pluto? No.
No. So anyway, we started doing this opera and it turned out to be a little bit unwieldy. So I cut it down to just Lady Macbeth. So it's the opera told from the story of her perspective with three witches that are the puppet masters. And we did there. It's been done all over America, but we did a huge production here in L.A. about 5 years ago at a place called Fado Do, where we had...
I know Fado Do.
Yeah.
On Adams.
Yeah, and we had acrobats, and we had, you know, someone who used to work at CSI and did a decapitated head for us for, like, King Duncan.
That's awesome.
And it was really successful, and the director of that actually... How's this for a good segue? The director of that was Yuval Sharon. And Yuval Sharon then moved on after that opera and started a new opera company in town called The Industry.
Wow.
And they do really cutting edge avant-garde
yeah.
operas that push
the envelope.
Push the envelope and what people's definition is of opera. So one of his first projects was with composer Anne LeBaron. It was called Crescent City. They did it in a big warehouse that had been transformed into an art installation that the audience moved around in. He's doing
That's amazing.
Last year, 2 years ago now, he did this really great project at Union Station called Invisible Cities with the composer Chris Sharon, where the audience was wandering around with Sennheiser headsets, listening to the orchestra, which was in another room, and the singers were following the singers around Union Station.
Whoa,
amongst the public
travelers.
The homeless and everything. And the composer actually got nominated for a Pulitzer. It was a really huge production.
That's amazing.
How do you even, how does that thought even come into your brain to have that idea?
I don't know. But his next idea, I got a call from him. Hey, Veronica, I want to do an opera in limousines that's mobile.
Wow.
And I've got six composers. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do this story that you can tell in many, any kind of order. And so the first book was, no, this isn't the right one. But then he found a book by Julio Cortazar called Hopscotch that was a book you could read in various orders. And he goes, this is perfect. Let's do it. So the composer started working. And then he found out he couldn't get the rights to it, which was actually really fortuitous because then a whole bunch of L.A. writers came on board and we created this story about L.A. from scratch.
That's awesome.
So
it's like a modern day libretto.
It's a modern day libretto. It's a modern day. It's a completely LA community based project that all the composers, most the musicians, the singers, everyone is part of this LA music community, and most of us are friends and colleagues. Mm. So it was really cool to get to work on.
So yeah. When you say you're working with six other composers, how does that work? Do you enjoy working with different people like that? How does it... Do you work on the same piece of music? You're working on separate pieces of music?
So the story...
And do they have to be sort of intertwined in some way?
Literary answer, damn it! No, I'm just kidding. This is two-part B.
Yeah. Sorry, it was an eight-part question.
I have many questions.
This is stuff I don't know about.
1.1.
I was just trying to figure out what libretto was. I'm way out.
You want to answer that?
I'm way out of this.
Libretto is the text, the story.
Oh, okay.
It's the words.
So basically, we had the composers and the writers all paired off, and there were 36, geez, I can't remember how many chapters there are. Anyway, it got divided up among the composers.
Uh-huh.
So I had four scenes, someone else has three, someone else has three. And then within each scene, we decide instrumentation, who's going to be singing.
That's amazing.
So some of them are done in limousines, so you have the constraint of not being able to have an orchestra in there,
right,
in the car.
Done in limousine, you meaning the instruments are played inside a limousine?
Yeah.
Whatever instruments you could fit in there. So you're not having any tubas or...
Well, actually, I have a tuba in one of mine.
It sticks out the sunroof.
She's always like, this is one of the teachers that made me go, you know what? Never be confined.
No,
my lines
never
are
be
borders.
Confined. Yeah. No borders. But so basically, some of these scenes are broken up. Everyone sees it in a different order. And some of the scenes are, they're 10 minutes long, are done in limousines. Some of them are
moving?
Moving. Some are stopped. Some are moving. Some of them take you to a location. So I'm doing a spoiler
here.
That's
live art. That's unbelievable.
This is completely a spoiler. I have one of my scenes in the Bradbury building. So you go into the Bradbury building and for 10 minutes you go up there.
You don't just say that and not expect some reaction.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of wanted a Blade Runner sound effect. Ooh. Do you have a Blade Runner sound effect?
I don't know.
Yeah. We were anyway.
How's this?
Oh, well, that's close enough. So, you know, you walk through a location and have the musicians going around you or the dancers. And
so how many people can attend this at one time?
Well, there are four people in a limo at a time.
Okay.
But there are 18. No, wait. What's 8 times 3?
24.
There are 24 limos.
There are 24 limos.
At the same time.
You're on a
circular route.
Okay.
So everyone starts at a different spot.
And everybody's having the
that
same experience.
So awesome.
In different order.
Oh.
Yeah,
but so wait. But are they? Do they repeat it?
You go through it once. So you go through. So basically, all of the stories. There are 24 stories that are told in three acts. So there are three routes of the opera: red, yellow, and green, like traffic lights.
Amazing! I love it.
It's all Yuval Sharon. And so you can pick a route to do, or you can do all three, or you can do two, and then for 80 minutes, you're on this route with 10 different locations, 10 different scenes. And really, it's amazing how they've all just sort of managed to match, even though there are six different composers, all with different compositional voices.
Well, it's like somebody's got to guide the vision a little bit. Or is it just, is it abstract? Like, everybody's like, has free reign to however they want to make it.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, within, you know, I'd like to have this or that. I mean, my...
Did you fight for the tuba?
No, I didn't, in fact. What happened is I had this idea. One of my scenes is... Using text by Guy Debord, who's a French situationist theorist.
Are you sure he's French?
Anyway, he's French, and so his text deals, this one is sort of the philosophical text in the opera, where it's not dealing with the story. Can I go back and tell you what the story is first?
Yeah.
So the story is of...
this is your time.
Oh, it's my time. Come on. I could sing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do it.
No, I don't want to sing.
Oh.
No.
And here's Veronica singing.
So what ends up happening is it's a story.
Sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
So long ago.
You have Lucha, who's a Hispanic girl who moves to L.A. as a young child because her parents get killed in a car accident. And then it tells her story from being young to being an older woman. And on the in the course of that, it's her becoming an artist, her meeting a man, Jameson, who she falls in love with and gets married to. They meet at a car crash. And then, I don't, well, it's an L.A. story. And then they go through to... you know, to him disappearing, and then she gets together with someone else. And anyway, so it's this really lovely story of this woman and in various scenarios during her life in different ages. So this one text, this one scene I have is this sort of philosophical chapter. And I used Guy Debord because Yuval really likes his work, and it sort of dealt with the idea of alienation in cities and bringing people together. And I thought it would be really cool to do it in a car wash.
That is awesome.
So we couldn't use a real car wash because there's a drought. We can't use water. So we thought what we'll do is we'll project a video and soundtrack to simulate a car wash. And then we had problems finding an actual car wash, and someone volunteered an RV, which fell through. So then, and anyway, so my idea was, you know when it rains that everyone sort of huddles below a really small thing that doesn't do anything at all.
Right.
So I thought, wouldn't it be cool to put a double bass and a singer and cram them into a limo and have everyone else crammed in there, and they're doing this philosophical text in a car wash.
Wow.
So then we had to go into a larger Airstream.
Right.
But the problem with that is, you know, bass is big, but Airstreams are bigger than limos. So I thought, well, what else could I put in there that's really big? And I went, ah, tuba.
I love that.
How can I make these people uncomfortable and inspired at the same time?
This reminds me of an idea I had a long time ago that I wish I would have done, but it was a spoken word poetry thing all in Uber cabs.
Oh, that's cool.
But I'm just kidding. I didn't have that idea.
Oh, I was like,
what's the new Uber cab?
Dude, that would be...
Who drive the Uber cars. I'm sorry.
Uber.
They came up with something cool, but
that wasn't cool. It was a very bad joke that nobody got, and let's move on. Can we edit this out? Oh, this is live.
That was good. I like that joke, Brian.
I was sitting here the whole time thinking about that joke.
That's all right.
It's all right. Sometimes spoken word and
Uber cabs. You swing for the fences, and you strike out.
I thought it was funny. Somebody's laughing at that, I swear.
Well, let's play something. What are you playing? What are you playing for the second piece?
Well, we can play... this isn't an opera. This other piece.
I won't hate.
Hold on. Before we do that, do you mind? I'm going to just say, if you're interested in getting tickets, hopscotchopera.com.
What's in the air, by the way? Go ahead.
Anyway, so get tickets. They're really going fast. There are only a few left. There aren't that many left. It's almost sold out. So check it out. It's
hopscotch.com?
Yeah, hopscotchopera.com.
And when is it?
It opens October 31st, runs for 4 weekends. It's Saturday and Sundays during the day. Mm. It's a little bit pricey. And then the other thing to add is if you can't get a ticket or the price is prohibitive or they have a ticket lottery, you can check that all out online. What they're doing is they have a central hub, which is the intersection point of all three stories or routes. And this is at SciArc downtown, the architecture school.
Yeah.
And they've built this temporary installation there that is going to live stream what's happening.
All at once?
So you can go in there for
that's
free
cool.
and look at...
All different screens projecting
different screens,
the different...
Yeah.
You know what I love about
so
this?
Cool.
Like before we move on, like opera, like I came from that world and... That world, it's not innovating in the same way that things like this are and should be. It's like you're carrying on that torch, which is amazing because that's what those guys would be doing now. You know, they wouldn't be using the same theaters as their, you know, medium in the same way. You know what I mean?
It's exciting too because one of the things about this piece is that I've been living in LA for 20 years, and the longer I live here, the more I love it.
Yeah,
but I feel like a tourist in my own city because there are locations that I'm going to.
That you've never seen.
That I've never seen.
I'm from here and I feel like that.
Yeah. It's such an amazing city with such a rich history, short history, but still a history. I mean, it's not
that
France.
Short. Come
it's
on.
Not like France or somewhere. Or
she's just saying that because she's Canadian.
I think Canada has even shorter history. Than yeah. Okay.
All right, so what are you playing? Play?
All right, so we're going to switch from opera to a piano piece called Un Intermezzo. Number 15, it's actually called A Chorus of Night Things, and I'll tell you about it once you hear
more
it.
More night stuff? This sounds scary.
Oh, it's all night. Yeah, because it's Halloween, dude.
Let's do it.
I don't like this.
She's on the same wavelength.
Yeah,
dude, you got awesome. Such a deep concept of music. Seriously, no, you really do. Like,
but you won't tell anyone, right?
I won't tell anyone. Okay, it's my.
Do you have a favorite instrument to compose? Like, that was just all piano right there. But yeah, is there something piano. That you is there no. a part of it that you like the most? A tuba or you know?
No, I don't know.
No.
No,
okay.
In fact,
she hasn't been asked that question. Obviously,
I actually have no answer for that.
Oh, okay.
But I can tell you about the piano piece. So,
sure.
So this is really kind of cool. One of my main inspirations often is literature, and I read this book by one of my favorite authors, China Mayville. He's a British writer, sort of fantasy science fiction.
His first
fiction.
Name is China.
His first name's China.
That's awesome.
Really cool dude. Really cool dude. He studied, oh my goodness, I can't remember right now, something like, anyway, you can Google him, China Mayville.
I hear the radio airwaves.
The radio airwaves. No, I just
completely. Everybody was on bated breath like, oh,
but
where?
He, you know, he's won the Arthur C. Clarke okay. Science Fiction Award
a right.
bazillion times. Cool. Anyway, and I've been a fan of his for many years. I've been reading his books. And then he had a book that was for younger readers called Un London. So it presented this story of London existing with an alternate London city below it that was sort of its counter thing. And it was a story of this young heroine who ventures to un-London, finds herself unwittingly in this alternate London and has to save the real London against the bad smog monsters.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's a really good
story. I like that.
But his writing is so poetic, and I just thought, oh, and I love these phrases he has. I'd love to use them for a set of piano pieces. And then a friend of mine, Aaron Kelly, who's the pianist you just heard playing.
Yeah, I just saw his name.
He is a Grammy-nominated pianist.
He's like, damn it, you should have saved a winner.
he's a winner. He's great. He runs People Inside Electronics. He does all sorts of things. Tuesdays in Muck Space. He's Mr. Impresario around town. Wow. Check him out. Aaron Kelly, K-A-L-L-A-Y. Oh,
yeah.
And he said...
Is it A-R-O-N?
A-R-O-N. Okay. He wanted me to write him a piano piece. So I thought, well, why don't I use these titles? But I better find out if I can't. So I emailed China's publisher. I didn't know him at that point. And just introduced myself and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm a huge fan.
Right,
you know,
right.
All that sort of stuff.
Great, one of these.
Yeah, yeah.
Story of my life, Veronica.
Yeah. Anyway, so I asked him, and he goes, oh, I would be thrilled. And so I did the pieces. They're a set of five pieces. And instead of calling them intermezzos,
right,
because it was based on un-London.
Oh,
called them un-intermezzos.
Yeah, because I'd looked at that, and I'm like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I know. I made it up.
Oh, I like it.
I like
that's
it.
Good.
You're like, this is going to be a nod to China.
Yeah.
Even though he's from London.
Yeah. Anyway, so there are five pieces, and they're all sort of dedicated to various people. One is dedicated to Aaron. Specifically, one is dedicated to China. So his deals with this library, and his name is as a ladder in the music with other things going around it and all
that's
that
amazing.
Stuff.
That's
yeah.
amazing. I wanted to ask you, like, there's so much going on melodically in there.
Yeah.
Are you hearing that in your head? Are you thinking about what you're writing? Like, what's your process? That's let's get to the nitty gritty.
Oh, well, the title of that one is the title of that one is A Chorus of Night Things. So that idea of these quiet sort of mysterious things flooding around at dusk. That one's actually dedicated to a friend of mine who's also a composer and a pianist and a conductor, and Thomas Addis. So I used his name to get the harmonic, the pitches of the piece, and then
that's deep.
And so I it's deep.
No, it is, because it's conceptual. Yeah. Like, I love that.
Nobody would know that. But anyway, so it was sort of this fluttering idea that I tried to imitate, with interspersed with these sort of moments of profundity.
Dude,
which
awesome.
He is.
I mean, some of those arpeggios, like, you wouldn't sit at the piano and just think, oh, I'm going to play this. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
so that's what's cool about it.
I kind of did.
Yeah.
I can't play it that well, though.
Yeah, but that's pretty wicked. That's what I'm saying.
Anyway, so that's that one. And so it was really fun. And Aaron just released these on this really cool digital piano series he's doing, where every month he's going to add new piano pieces. So you can check that out. And it's the project is called Somewhere Very Else, which is the title
that's a great name.
Which was taken from China's.
From his book?
From his book, yeah. And he has a new book of short stories out, which is
dude. I'm gonna have to listen back to the show just to get right down. I'm like, okay, this book.
Anyway, so that's that. And they've been played all over the place, which is great. And they'll be getting played in Paris next month by this wonderful,
cool. That's amazing
pianist Suzanne Bartal. And this is really cool. Another pianist, Trisha Dawn Williams, is performing them at the Presidential Palace in Malta.
Whoa.
That's amazing.
Very fancy.
Student audience is like, wait for it, wait for it. Okay.
No. Give me a boing. I like the boing.
Oh, hey.
I like that one better. Okay.
Calling out the...
This is why I love her.
I'm requesting. So anyway, it's kind of fun that they were being played a lot. And,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's got to be an amazing... Like, in all the things that you're telling about your stories, like, it's got to be an amazing thing. You walk into one venue and you see acrobats, and you see huge props and crazy things.
Oh.
And then you walk into another venue, and you have your pieces being played in limousines. Like, dude, you're living the artist life, which is amazing.
It's great. You know, I'd like to make some money doing it, but
You're on your way. Like, you can't think about it. Because once the money comes, then all these ideas stop coming.
No, they don't.
You know what I
mean? In fact, they don't. Oh my goodness, another literary thing. One of my favorite writers, poets, is a Canadian poet, Gwendolyn McEwen, who died very early from alcoholism. And I remember reading an interview with her. She said, you know, interviewers always ask writers, where do you get your ideas? And what they in fact should be asking is, how do you pick your ideas, or how do you stop getting ideas? Because literally, you as a creative person, most people
there's
are
a
like
flood, yeah, and you have to be judicious with what you're going to choose.
Because you can't do
and
everything.
And run with it. Yeah, mm. yeah, it's so true.
I mean, it's like this show.
That's right.
Yes.
We could talk about Halloween.
No, I would rather not.
Yeah. That's nice. It's getting sleepy.
Yeah.
That is... So, speaking of limos, if you go on hopscotch, we're jumping back and forth. That's all right. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's hopscotch, so there's a lot of jumping.
Hopscotch. And, so, that's the music box aria. So, if you happen to go into one of my other scenes, you might get into a limousine with a singer who's accompanying herself with this lovely music box that we got made.
It's awesome looking, too.
That's so
you thought
cool.
it was
and
a
you,
pencil
what you
sharpener.
Say,
I did, well, because it looks like this thing from, like, the Harry Potter movies.
When you say you
and then you open it, and there's
this.
Nothing in it, and it looks like the only thing that's in there is, like, an old school pencil sharpener.
When you say you made this, what does that mean? Like, did you carve that box out of wood? Because it's very cool.
No. I bought the box on eBay. Uh-huh. The music box mechanism, I wrote the piece.
Uh-huh.
And through this lovely gentleman in Long Beach, we got them made, handmade in China.
Okay, so they make the little mechanism plays the music. So
yeah,
you write the music, and then they say, okay.
So the music is based on that, or is it the opposite? Is that box based on your music?
She wrote the music box music.
Dude, that's insane.
Yeah, and so then that is then used to accompany the aria in hopscotch.
Dude, that I'm gonna applaud that. Hold
on, that's very bad.
Hold on. I mean, that's what I love about you. You're innovative. I mean, that's what it's about. What do you want to play us next? I know you're ready.
Well,
you're ready,
I guess,
for the language of the birds.
So this is the last one, I guess.
Yeah.
So
don't be sad.
She's getting
don't.
Okay, that makes me happy. Boings are good. So. A couple of years ago, I got asked to write a piece to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the San Francisco Choral Artists, and they wanted something with string quartet. So again, I found a San Francisco writer, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, who's a genius man who started City Light Books in San Francisco. And I picked a couple of his poems, which he then graciously agreed to narrate on the CD that came out. So the recording, but the movement you'll be hearing, you'll actually be hearing Lawrence Ferlinghetti reciting that phrase before they start performing the piece. But the piece is called Language of the Birds because it's based on an installation that was done by a San Francisco artist whose name is Brian Goggin. Brilliant artist and sculptor and everything. And he did this in conjunction with Dorca Keene, who's another brilliant artist and political activist up in San Francisco.
I got to start hanging out with you. You hang out with the coolest name. I feel like I'm in a Harry Potter movie.
I would definitely get way smarter if I hung out with you and your friends. I'm so dumb right now.
No, those are some cool names.
They're all smarter than I am. I just sort of...
glom
on to
iron sharpens iron. And you know what? They're probably saying, Veronica's more brilliant than we are.
Right. Anyway, so they did this lovely installation by City Light Books, which has these illuminated books flying like birds, and words are falling out. So
that
like,
is awesome.
Is, yeah.
This is crazy.
Dude,
this
I want to hang out with
ridiculous.
You. We need to hang out more.
Why do we care about like Caitlyn Jenner is doing or what
because
are these?
It's commercially.
Why do we care about that? This
like,
stuff is like
stupid,
insane.
And that's why
this stuff would like explode people's minds if they saw it. We're
it's great.
Worried about
that's why we do
dumb
this show
stuff,
to
like,
showcase people like this because people like this need to know there is a market. And that's the thing.
Yeah,
it's
it's
there's
good,
a huge market for people like that want art that means something. That and you know what's really cool is like you're doing like the street art concept with a lot of this. Like you're making it about the experience, about being in the moment, which art is now losing. You know what I mean? Like so much of art is lost.
I don't know. I think that's something that's starting to happen because people are with various medias and multimedia. I hate that word, but you know, multimedia or the term. People are getting inspired by various things. So I think sometimes when different art forms get combined, they get diluted in terms of their
content.
Their
quality.
Content. But I think a lot of times things could be separated and still exist on their own. But when you join them together, such as music and
visual, I think a lot it's the vision though. It's like you have so many people like making. So, you have a lot of chefs in the kitchen, and it could collide, but instead it just coexists the way kind of we want society
it creates
to be.
A tofurkey.
I love it.
I like this. Look at this.
She's here all night, ladies and
gentlemen. And so, all right. So you want to finish with this?
So, are we just going to play this to the end, or are we going to come back?
We're going to play. Well, I don't. Yeah, we'll play it. Like we'll play what? 4 minutes of it? Five?
Yeah, just play a minute or two of it. So this is Language of the Birds, second movement. It's where's my list? It's in Golden Gate Park, and it's with the San Francisco choral artists and the Alexander String Quartet.
Here we go.
Here it comes.
At a very still spot where the trees dreamed and seemed to have been waiting through all time.
Beautiful, beautiful. He's got our audience so quiet.
I know. Well, it's all it's attached to the
It's okay. Dude.
That was golf.
That was so beautiful.
That was amazing.
Yay. Super lush.
It was pretty.
Super beautiful. And it's like, I know you're like, yeah, I like that pretty stuff sometimes.
I know
you love the avant-garde stuff, but dude, that was so, I mean, it was very heart-wrenchingly cool. Beautiful. So anyways, before
thank
we sign
you,
out, Veronica, it's so badass that you've been a guest. Like, I want you to come in more, so please,
we want
you to come in more, and I want to interview you about so many things that you're doing now.
I want to come in on Halloween.
Please.
Every Halloween.
Every Halloween. Okay. Sounds you got good. It. You know what? Honestly?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be October.
The Halloween guest.
And next time I'll wear a costume.
Yeah. No. Please. Then I'll dress up too.
Yeah, we'll dress up.
Shit.
I'm not going to dress up though.
Okay, then
we'll just scare him.
Okay, yeah.
Veronica, for all of our listeners, plug your website. Where can everybody find you?
VeronicaKrausis.com. VERONIKA Krausis, KRAUSAS.com.
Right.
COM.
Find her. Ask her to write something for your next crazy, unbelievably awesome avant-garde artistic event.
Yes.
And go check out Hopscotch Opera, and also Gloria Chang is doing a concert in Pasadena with some harpsichord music that I wrote
for her. What's the website? Hopscotch.com, right?
Hopscotch Opera.
Hopscotch Opera.
Remember Opera? Ooh.
I remember that stuff.
Opera.
Veronica, you were awesome.
Thanks, guys.
You are awesome.
So, such a pleasure to listen to your music and hear your story.
You're the best.
Happy vegan Halloween.
Thank you, yes. And
that sounds not so fun.
It's fun. Come on, it's okay.
Do you dress up as tofu?
He's a tofurkey.
Okay, is the show over yet? Just get out of here. Find me at thesexyvegan.com. There, I'm getting my plug.
That's
in.
Right. That's right.
Thesexyvegan.com.
On behalf of Brian and I, thank you guys so much. Veronica, you were awesome. We'll see you guys next week. Wake up, Hollywood!
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.